does it take to become the Vidal Sassoon of Malaysia? Hello, you're listening to a Fusion View podcast, and my name is Yang Mei Ui. In this podcast, I talk to Winnie Liu, founder and creative director of A Cut Above Salon, about how she built up her brand to become the Vidal Sassoon of Malaysia. You can also get the chance to win a copy of her motivational book, A Cut Above, built on hard work, true grit, and a pair of scissors. Details at the end of the podcast. Winnie built up her hairdressing salon, A Cut Above, over 30 years from a small unit in Kuala Lumpur to become the premier brand in hairstyling in Malaysia. She has opened the A Cut Above Hairdressing Academy, a training centre of excellence for stylists in Malaysia and across Asia. She's also a motivational speaker and author. I caught up with her on the phone from Kuala Lumpur last week. Hi, Winnie.
Hello.
You have built your salon from a small business, and I know that you started out from quite humble beginnings. Can you tell me something about your background to start with?
Being the hairdresser, as a hairdresser since the 1976, it's been such a long time ago. It seems like it was just yesterday, and right now my business, A Cut Above, just celebrated 27 years of the industry. 27 years is such a long time. I must say that it was just a little childhood dream wanting to become a hairstylist, and that's about it. And I actually, it's really like a dream comes true to be able to reach this stage in my career.
Yes, indeed. And I know that your dad was quite supportive of you when you were young and you said you wanted to be a hairdresser.
It was mom, you know, and dad actually wanted me to be, well, more of a business lady. But thank God I am now. I'm a hairdresser, but I have a business behind me. And in the sense that I have a booming business, I mean, in KL.
Yes, indeed, and in a way that, you know, from a hairdresser, it's a business, and you've become the a premier brand now, haven't you?
I hate to boast about it, but I believe that I am already the leading salon and the leading hairdresser in Malaysia. I think I have actually reached quite a lot of recognition as a hairdresser in Malaysia now. It's actually, I would never even dream when I first stepped into the business that I could actually bring and elevate hairdressing to this level, which was never been recognized during my early years.
Yes, and I don't think it's boasting. If that's your achievement, then I think it's something to be applauded, because it's 27 years is a lot of hard work to get you where you are.
Yeah, that's why I talk about true grit. It was a lot of rough rides along the way, and it wasn't easy. It was really difficult. Well, I believe there's always light at the end of the tunnel, right?
Yes.
I worked my way up, because in my time in the 70s, I think hairdressing was a no-no to especially girls in the business.
Uh-huh.
People didn't think that, whether it's guys or girls, actually, hairdressing business was not a business. To them, it's like maybe a career for a school dropped out. Yeah, I think so. I really think so. Until today, a lot of people whom I meet, they'll be rather surprised and say, "Oh, you're a stylist. You behave like you are really an entrepreneur." But now I really think back. I thank my dad for that. He pushed me to study earlier part of my career before I took hair. I actually took a London Chamber of Commerce, and I went into it. Now I think it's been the most wonderful thing that my dad has wanted me to.
Yes.
Before I stepped into the choice of hairdressing.
So you have a business background thanks to your dad, and a hairdressing thanks to your creativity.
Now I recall that I thank him. Initially I was so upset that he didn't agree to begin with.
And so you came to London.
Sometimes it's like that, no?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Your career, one's career can take interesting paths. Because for me, my dad and wanted me to. In fact, my family wanted me to do medicine, but I get scared with blood, you know. So luckily, my mom, a bit like your mom, said, "Okay, darling, you know, do what you're interested in," which was English.
What moms are like.
Yeah, yeah. And so then I ended up in a strange way doing law, just like my dad, and
And now I think everybody is happy.
And now you're not really practicing it, right?
No, that's right. I work a little bit part-time, and I'm also doing my writing. So I think I've got my English side from my mum, and I got my law from my dad.
Yeah, but I think it's okay. Most important thing is sometimes we have to follow our heart, right?
I think so. And then that means you can do something with passion.
Yes, exactly. This is what it's all about now. For me right now, actually, to reach this kind of success is really about the passion that I'm having.
Mm.
I'm constantly and very happily doing it.
Mm.
So that is more important.
And so now you came to London and you studied the business side of things. And did you also came and did a course in hairdressing in London?
I took business, actually. It was like a Malaysian... I studied business in Malaysia, which was actually affiliated to the London Chamber of Commerce. So after that, only I left for London to study hairdressing. So hairdressing was a strict no-no in Malaysia for me then, because nothing affects me in terms of the training.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I took hairdressing in London instead.
And then when you did finish your training, you did you stay on?
I worked in London for a little while, to get the experience. Because what I feel was because... Already, it's already a trade not being looked at. Can you imagine I go back as just with a bit of training and go back and trying to make a bit of living or hoo-ha? It's no way. So I thought maybe the best thing is even if I need to start from a very junior stage, or, you know, I'm not afraid to make mistakes, not in front of the people who are looking upon me, you know, in a sense. I can't go back and tell my mom I can't do her hair well, I can't do this well, you know. So I thought the best thing for me to do is to pick up as much experience when I was there.
And so why did you decide to open your own salon in Kuala Lumpur?
Well, I think what happened was way back in 78 when I got back, I got a job in Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was working in Singapore as in a very leading salon, I realized there is no point to make big names in Singapore. And one day, if I want to come back to Malaysia, maybe I'll never do that, you know.
Mm.
So I decided to actually open my, come back to Malaysia to work. And chance upon me, I actually got the chance to open my salon sometime in the early 79. Well, it was a decision make for little girls, I call it. My God, I was just still quite young to be in business. But it went well. It really went well. And hardly 2 years ago, I decided to open my own academy. And now, after 27 years, we are sharing. After all this while, we're sharing education now. Yeah. It's so exciting that right now we're doing a lot of sharing. We are opening doors for the young, the people who, you know, who are like me during my young years. There was no great school over here, and I had to go far away. But I think the doors has opened for me to do it in Malaysia, so I'm pretty fortunate that when I decided to do it, I have got a good amount of backing, that I have some of my older team of staff very willing to go into the education side. And I must share with you that we're the first Malaysian school to receive the International City and Guilds, which is actually a London qualification related to the IVQ. So we are international vocational qualification now for our students who sit the exam in Malaysia.
That's fantastic. So not only are you helping educate Malaysians, a new generation of hairstylists, but you're also putting Malaysia on the map, on the international hair industry map.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure if I still work on from there, and now that with your interview, thanks. I must thank you to give me this kind of opportunity. But in a way, at the same time, I do really want to work hard for Malaysian hairdressing to be lifted up to another level.
Mm.
Because I really see that there's a lot of talented young Malaysians over here. If we can actually have this kind of education for them, I think it would be really superb.
A lot of developed countries are worrying about the brain drain, you know, when the talent goes overseas.
Yes,
and
exactly.
What you're doing is helping the talent stay in Malaysia through education at a very high level within your profession. And then people will stay in Malaysia rather than being sucked off to other...
Exactly. Yeah, because I remember during my early years as a hairdresser, a lot of of people would not even want to really work in Malaysia. They go to Hong Kong to work, they work in Singapore. Maybe a lot of people, we call it jump the flight, and is working in New York or London. Well, because there was very, it was not looked upon, and there was very little opportunities, you know.
Yeah.
But right now, with Kuala Lumpur, especially where I'm based now, where the city has a lot of happening, and people like our academy have actually had to train, and a lot of new chances for the young talented hairdressers. So I really felt this was the best thing for me to do next after the success of A Cut Above. So the academy just came in so handy. So after that, what happened was we were recognized by City and Guild, but what City and Guild in the end recognized us for was because they say that they have never had so much of distinctions and honors that arrived from Malaysia after my school opened. There's so much of distinctions going on.
Wow.
So it must be... We must be good, right?
Yeah.
Became the first school to have as a distinction students for City and Guilds in Malaysia. Yeah, actually, I'm so proud of my students. Of course, I'm proud of my educators who trained them. In that sense, I mean, the whole syllabus and the way we put things together.
I've read your book, A Cut Above, Built on Hard Work, True Grit and a Pair of Scissors. I just love that title. It's great. Why did you decide to write your book?
Interesting title, right?
Yeah.
The company is already A Cut Above. And actually, when the publisher knocks on my door, because actually it was my dream, I really felt one day I have to hang up my scissors, and I wanted to do something... so that I leave the trade as a legacy. It was my wildest dream, you know. But I think, you know, when you keep dreaming and dreams do come true, you say that this is it, you know. So the publisher actually suggested that I should publish a book on entrepreneurship and not a tribute, because actually, well, one of these days maybe I'll do a book to tribute to the unsung heroes in hairdressing, huh?
Yeah, why not? Your second book.
Yeah, and you never know, maybe I'll do it the day when I'm ready to hang scissors up, you know. But my publisher just thinks that I'm still too young to give up hairdressing. He said, why don't you do an entrepreneur write-up, you know, kind of book instead? So I thought, hey, yeah, this is a good angle. Exactly right now in my career over here, I do a lot of entrepreneur and motivational talk. I give a lot of talks to motivate young Malaysians how to do the business, like how I'm doing. So since all these things were going on, and I took the challenge, and actually this book came around. And when we were actually trying to decide a title, we were just thinking, what's best? Of course, it's got to be A Cut Above and nothing else. But because we need a subtitle line, so we said, oh, Built on Hard Work, because it was really not easy. And, you know, a pair of scissors sounds exactly as what I'm doing. So it just went well. I personally like the title myself, because we spend a lot of brainstorming session, you know. So my publisher is also, you know, a nice new kid on the block, I call it. Not big names.
And you, the book, just for our listeners who haven't read it, it tells the story of Winnie's life and how she started off and coming to London and all the things that she's learned and sometimes some of the mistakes that she's made and how she's learned from them. And it also tells about how some of the sort of business decisions that she's made and the challenges that she's faced. It's a very easy read. It's got some great pictures of fashion models and Winnie looking very glamorous and very young in some of the pictures, and then a little bit more older, a bit more established, a bit more sort of a businesswoman like a bit later on. So you really see your whole career there. It's a great read.
Yeah.
So what advice do you have for a young person starting out in their career?
Well, I always like to tell them that they have to have a lot of focus. Like, they must have visions, and at the same time they must know what they want to do. Because it's very important, because we can all daydream, but the dreams do come true. So at the same time, though, while you have wishes, sometimes you also have to follow your heart. Because a lot of young people make a lot of mistakes, and then in the end, they actually go to all sorts of courses, and then in the end, they still do not know whether it was the best thing for them to do. I always feel that when you're young, you also have to know what you like best and be able to actually convince parents, or even convince yourself that is this the right career that you choose. So So you must be, at the same time, this young person has to be dedicated. Because we all do something that after a while, we just gave up, you know, because we go through a lot of rough rides along the way. So don't easily give up, because I always feel that life is not just a pot of gold, you know, the kind of thing. And you just don't think that when you shake the tree, the money will drop from it, you know. So you really have to work very hard. And at the same time, of course, a bit smart, we call it. Today's people don't overwork, but you have to work smart at the same time.
And so for someone who perhaps is maybe mid-level, they're starting to be successful already, but they want to go off to a higher level, to be really a premier brand or a, you know, the top of their profession, what advice would you add to that?
Well, I think for such people, I still think that they have to explore opportunities and, well, maybe still, even though you're at that age of, I mean, at the stage of the career, but I think you still have to keep maybe exploring. At the same time, maybe you still have to learn. Like for me, I've been in the trade for 3 years. Can you imagine? I still like to sit in the front row watching a seminar, someone performing or someone still giving some advice on how to get the certain looks, because I really think that there's never an end to learning. And at the same time, while we learn, we actually opportunities do come in. People that you meet, because we always say, never afraid to mingle. The more people you meet, there's more opportunities. And these are very important for mid-level people. To go to another level is to not think that you have done well. So when you keep exploring such opportunities, I call them doors opening for you. It's especially when there are people at a higher level who's looking for people at that level to assist them. So I think we should not stop learning. This is my most sincere advice. If I can still learn after 30 years, I always tell people there's always still more to learn. Never enough.
And how important do you think it is to have a good team and the support from your loved ones?
Well, I think it's really important. I'm very fortunate that I have a very strong team of people behind me. I think we have about 200 staff now. And yeah, it's fantastic. It's just growing. Can you imagine when I first started, I have about five, six of them, plus me, actually. And I have a very important person to thank as my husband, who has always been there for me, you know, supporting me even from day one. When he stepped into the business with me. Actually, he came into the business sometime much, much later in my career. And when he stepped in, I think that was like, that was it. We know that we are really growing, because he has business, a businessman by profession. I mean, his business acumen is really good. So I think having his support is really fantastic. This kind of thing, I think, is really important from staff to, you know, your very own family members. I think they really help us to improve ourselves and to give us a lot of encouragement to excel and be better.
Yeah.
And even now, my son teasingly tell me, I don't know whether he'll change his mind. He's doing business in Australia, and he emailed his dad and then my husband after the launch of my book, and he says that I will be the one to bring mommy to the next level, things that she cannot go further. I will be the next one to bring her to another level. That sounds so good.
Yes.
It's like as though he's planning my future and planning me to go international.
Yes.
I really think that, because sometimes there's a lot of plans for me to do and together with my husband, but sometimes we just ask ourselves, oh my God, we're not young anymore. Do we want to do so much, you know?
It sounds like you're going to have a legacy that you will leave behind for your son to pick up. For you yourself at the moment, do you see yourself going international, or you think when you hang up your scissors, then the young boy will take it over?
Yeah, this is actually a very, very big plan for the family, because now basically since I have two kids with me, because I think the future for me is still very bright. I can see that if I have already ran in this part of, I mean, in the country, why should I just hang up my scissors and stop it? You know, it's such a waste. It took me 27 years to be where I am, and I believe there's many more years to celebrate the success of the company. And I think being a cut above, I believe it's already a name, a legacy, you know, and a brand that a lot of Malaysians are so proud to come into to have a haircut. And even right now, we have a lot of clients that comes from around the world, because thank God I have such a big amount of expatriates. They come from UK, they come from New York, you know. So the expatriates that come in to work in Malaysia are naturally just choosing us, because I think maybe our business speaks volume. Planning International is actually maybe part of the next move, maybe especially when my son once they decide to step into the business, he will bring it to a very big, high level. Mm. For us, we are in education. Already we are doing international, because you see, we have classes that people coming in from, especially more Asia students, or rather their hairstylists coming in for advanced classes from China, Philippines, India, you know. I even have one or two coming in from Australia. So those are already areas which actually we have gone international. Subconsciously, that I don't realize because of the education side. Mm. We don't do our salon there, but we actually have people who come in for our class. So this is another area that I'm actually expanding into my network. Because especially my biggest dream is to actually have more students or Chinese nationals coming into Akarabas, because China is such a big market.
Well, 1 billion or more heads of hair to cut. Well, Winnie, thank you so much for taking time out from your busy schedule to speak to me, and best of luck for your plans for the future.
Oh, thanks for calling. You've been so wonderful.
To find out more about Akarabas Salon and Academy, go to www.akarabas.com.my. Winnie has offered 3 copies of her book, Akarabas, Built on Hard Work, True Grit and a Pair of Scissors, for the Fusion View prize draw. All email subscribers to Fusion View have the chance to win. If you have not already subscribed, go to the sidebar on the Fusion View webpage at www.fusionview.co.uk and enter your email address. You can also read my subscription policy there. Subscription is free, and I will not use your email address for any other purpose. I will pick 3 email subscribers at random to win copies of Winnie's book. The closing date for the prize draw is 31st August 2006. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.